Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here at your service. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's the short one. That's the acronym. If you can remember my name, that'll get you there, jimblasingame.com. Or if you like to type, we have one for you too, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those three will get you to what I think of as a little bit of small business heaven. Thousands of archives, hundreds, almost probably over 1,000 articles, hundreds and hundreds of our Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts in the world. And all that's there for you for free, thanks to my organization and our fine corporate partners, whom we appreciate very, very much. And I hope you do, too, because they make a nice gesture in trying to help you and me be more successful in our small businesses, to have the maximum opportunity to be successful in our small businesses. They do a good job of that, and we appreciate them very much. Giovanni Cortolo is our guest. And folks, as I told you, he's a really smart guy. He does a lot of good work for you and me in Washington, D.C. But I would invite him back just because I like his name. But thank goodness, that's not the only reason we have him back on the show. He's director of small business policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He's our good friend. Giovanni, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back. And you just have a terrific show. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, I appreciate it. It's good to have you back, and I know you bring greetings to us from looking out of the U.S. Chamber building, out over the White House. And how's George doing over there? Is he back from Rome yet?
I don't think so, but I really don't keep track of his schedule that much.
Well, I thought you guys were just like that. I thought you were close.
I wish.
But your building is right there, almost on the lawn there, isn't it? It's nearby.
Yeah, we're right across the street.
Lafayette Square, is that right?
Absolutely. It gives us a strategic position, and we're always over there. We're interfacing not only with the White House and the administration, but Congress. A lot of important things happen here that affect small business.
Well, I'm probably going to be at the White House the last week of April. I think I'm going to get to go over there. When I come over, I'm going to be coming to see you and the SBA. I'm going to be helping the SBA celebrate the Small Business Week in about 3 weeks.
That's right, and it's a terrific program they put on. They certainly do a lot for small business, and we really have to get that engine running on all cylinders.
Absolutely. Giovanni, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is something that's on just about everybody's mind these days, and tell us what that is.
Well, Jim, taxes. In small business, the only way you grow your business is to try to funnel funds into that business. You need every penny you get to create jobs. And I know this time of year, small business owners and individuals, that's what's on their mind. Next week, they have to file. And, how can we pay the least taxes? We've been very fortunate over the last 3 years. We've had some bills passed with the help of the chamber, tax relief, and certainly we've lowered that. We've been able to provide more money to small businesses to grow their business. But
for example, in addition to actual reduction of marginal rates and actual reduction of capital gains and that sort of thing, actual increase in direct expensing, that's been a big help to small business, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Section 179 has been a tremendous, quadrupling from $25,000 to $100,000.
Right.
And this helps a lot of small businesses to retool, buy new equipment. It's been a tremendous value to them.
Any dollar of tax a small business owner doesn't have to pay stays in the business in the form of capital, working capital, to help them buy more stuff, to help them provide better products for their customers, to help them hire more people, and to add value to the relationship that they have with their employees and with their families, the owners' families, and with their customers. And it works like a charm, doesn't it?
It does. The one thing that I want to point out, and I think it's I think all your listeners have to be aware of. It's a growing concern on Capitol Hill, and that's the tax gap. We are engulfed in budget deficits, and with those deficits, there's been a concern on Congress that those that pay must pay their fair share. So even though we've had relief, there must be a fair share paid. The IRS just came out with the number that they feel is close to $350 billion in taxes that are not being paid by those that they feel should be paid. And that's something that...
And they sort of cast a little bit of a finger over towards a little bit of the direction of their work there that they reported was they cast it over toward us, didn't they, towards us small business owners. When we come back, I'm going to get you to tell us about that. I've got some thoughts on that, too, as you won't be surprised to know. 2010, I've actually been hearing from reporters all over the country about this issue. This is a pretty hot topic, folks. 2010, we'll be right back with Giovanni Cortolo.
That's right.
Do it no matter what.
Sunshine came softly through my window today.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget, you know, there's at least a couple of articles that I write, one typically a little longer than the other. The other one's kind of a motivational piece, but there's also the schedule. Every Sunday, by email, you're going to get the newsletter, and included in there is, at the bottom of the email of the newsletter, is the schedule of the show that week, who the guests who are going to be on, what we're going to be doing that week on our show. So I hope you'll subscribe to it. Even if you don't want to read what I have to say, you might want to try to subscribe just for the schedule. That'd be worth the trip. Giovanni Cortolo is worth the trip too, folks. He's worth listening to because he's got some great things to talk to us about. He works very hard as the Director of Small Business Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on my behalf and on your behalf. And Giovanni, for all you do for small business, we thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I tell you, it's a pleasure to be on your show. We were talking about the tax gap, and one thing I think we should let your listeners know that the IRS has just completed what they call the National Research Program, which was an audit of 46,000 individual income taxes, and that was done in 2001, so they have a lot of information about what areas of noncompliance that are out there. They say that 80% of the noncompliance comes from underreporting. And also, most understated incomes comes from understated incomes come from business activities.
Small businesses.
So, small business activities. So, small business owners have to be very vigilant.
Does this mean we're now more under the microscope than ever before?
We are under a microscope. The president has called for nearly an 8% increase in enforcement activities, and this is just pervasive throughout Congress. It's you know, they're very lenient as far as making sure that we have good tax reform, but on the other hand, it's not fair to those people that pay taxes, the proper taxes, and this is what they feel that others may not.
So are you saying that we should expect more audits in the future?
Absolutely. Audits have increased, especially high-income taxpayer audits. Those earning $100,000 or more have increased 19%. We see this is just taking place over a overall. I was talking to an individual yesterday, and the offers in compromise, which they used to be very lenient on,
right.
They've stiffened up. So they're not.
This is where when you owe the government a lot of money, at least you think it is, you have the opportunity to negotiate them with them and maybe get it reduced by making an offer, and then they compromise.
Exactly, and they're not doing that as much. They're really holding firm on what they believe you owe them.
Right.
So it's important for small business owners to be very vigilant and not to play it too close to the edge.
Well, you know, Giovanni, I've been getting calls from reporters around the country about this, asking me what I thought about the IRS report. And what I think a lot of it is, where I think, and this is just my this is intuitive. This is anecdotal. This is not research that I've done, except the fact that I've been in the marketplace for a while now, and I think where a lot of the abuse is with in the area of people who are new to small business, probably a lot of independent contractors, whom I consider to be small business owners, whether they do or not. And I think the IRS would probably call them that. And these are people that have figured out how to become small business owners. They haven't been doing it very long, maybe less than a year or two or three. And they still haven't plugged their business into the tax collecting part. They've had W-2s all their life. They now have their own business, and they don't know how to file. They don't know how to hold money out. They're still not used to separating the government's money from their money. And they're commingling all of it. They need as much as they can to feed their family in the early days. And I think that's where a lot of the abuse is.
Well, there's a lot of credence to that. Right now, what they say is the independent contractors are, in fact, last year they had a proposal where honest, hardworking small businesses would have had to create a withholding scheme on independent contractors, and they feel that independent contractors may include a lot of this in what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly don't want to add any extra burdens to honest, hardworking small businesses, especially a withholding strategy.
For example, if somebody were my regular lawn company.
Right.
And I paid them, you know, $60 a month or whatever, the government would want me to withhold a percentage of that and send it in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that certainly adds another layer of paperwork to you as a hardworking owner. I know they did some areas in which compliance areas where it has worsened, and it's basically they see that flow through entities such as partnerships and sub S corporations. This is where compliance has worsened. Proprietor income and expenses such as gross receipts, bad debts, vehicles expenses. This is where compliance has worsened. Reporting on various types of deductions. All of this, they're going to put under a microscope, including the areas that you talked about, independent contractors. So we have to be very, very careful. The tax code is very complex. IRS is taking money out of education, which would have addressed the things that you brought up, taking that and transferring it to compliance. And mm-hmm. compliance is a very tough game,
right.
When you have IRS looking over your shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely. Giovanni, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to change a little bit and talk about different kinds of taxes and a vote that I think is coming up pretty soon that you might not know about. Giovanni's going to tell us about that right after these messages. Giovanni Cartolo is our guest. He's with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Giovanni Cartolo, the Director of Small Business Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And he's also, for today at least, he's our resident horticulturist. Giovanni, we need to get a cherry blossom report from you.
The cherry blossoms are in full bloom. In fact, it's there's so many tourists in town, it's hard to get back and forth. But it's great to see them because they're here, and I know a lot of small businesses are reaping the benefits from those tourists.
They're spending money, aren't they?
They sure are.
We love those tourists, don't we?
Absolutely.
That's clean industry. And they're there to see the cherry blossoms on the mall, and it's a beautiful thing. All the years I've been to Washington, I've only seen the cherry blossoms in full bloom one time.
They're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, the timing is you never know when they're gonna pop out there. Giovanni, let's get back. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, I want my audience to know how to contact you and how to get in touch with your organization and to find out more about what you guys do. So give us that website, please.
Well, www.uschamber.com, and it's a very extensive website. We cater to small business. We're a small business organization. if you're in business, you have to be represented in Congress.
And you guys work very well. One of the things I'm proud of you for, you work very well with the local chambers.
Oh, absolutely. We have a network of 3,000 state and local chambers, but you have to belong to us directly to get the benefits as well as your state and local chamber.
Right. All right. Now, let's talk about some more about taxes. There's a vote coming up you were telling us about.
Yeah, well, very exciting. Certainly tax relief is very important to small business. Next week in the House, they plan a vote on H.R. 8, which is the total repeal of the death tax. Right now,
yeah.
It goes to sleep and wakes up the next year.
What is that, 2010?
Yes, 2010.
It still amazes me that those guys made that a law and walked out of there straight-faced and actually have the chutzpah to look at us after that. I mean, that's the most ridiculous law that I've ever heard of.
Well,
it literally sunsets by degree for like 10 years, and then the next year it comes back like it never died.
Yeah, and it's one that's really plagued small business owners.
Since the Spanish-American War.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where it was implemented to pay for that war.
And Giovanni, isn't that war over? And didn't we win?
I think so. I mean, it's about time that we're still paying for the war, and it's many years later.
Right. I think that bill's been paid. I think we need to get rid of this tax.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the vote. They're going to vote on it?
Well, they're going to vote on it. It should pass. It's in the House. Obviously, the stumbling block is the Senate.
Yeah.
The money is always a problem.
Who's in our way on the Senate? Besides Ted Kennedy.
Well, we're crossing our fingers because it's going to be a close vote in the Senate, and it's just one that we'd like to see a total repeal.
Absolutely.
There's other taxes. I mean, the AMT is another one.
We've got to get rid of that, too.
We got to plague that, and hopefully we're going to see something from
alternative minimum tax.
Yep, the alternative minimum tax from the tax reform committee that President Bush has set up. We hopefully will see some type of reform on that. Permanency of all the tax cuts over the last two or three years are very important. We have to have predictability in the tax code. If you don't, you can't plan in a business.
Does the chamber favor any of the reform directions, flat tax, value-added tax, et cetera?
We have not taken a position on those. Tax simplification is important. Our position right now is let's nibble at the edges. Let's try to make it simpler by eliminating the AMT, making things permanent, and let's move toward the direction of simplicity, whether it's an income type of tax or a consumption tax. And Greenspan said it best, it has to be probably a combination of both.
Well, what we've been getting accomplished, and hopefully we can get the death tax eliminated, we might not like the total result, but we got to like the trend, as a friend of mine says.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the problem with the death tax is that the collection of the tax is almost 40-50% of what they reap in benefits.
And it's a tax on assets that have already been, the taxes of which have already been paid.
And a tax on jobs because it's a job destroyer.
Right.
And what better thing can we have is jobs in this country?
Well, and it surprises a lot of small business owners who weren't living. They're wealthy. They didn't realize they were wealthy, really. And they weren't even living off of the wealth that they had. But when they died, it became a tax burden for their family. And sometimes the farms have to be sold. Sometimes the businesses have to be sold. And it's a big mess. It's unfair. And it needs to go away. And I'm glad Giovanni Cortolo and the U.S. Chamber are working to make that happen. Giovanni, give us your website one more time.
www.uschamber.com.
Thank you for being here, Giovanni, and I will talk to you the last week of April when I'm in Washington, D.C. for Small Business Week, and I will see you then.
Thank you, Jim.
Giovanni Cortolo, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.